There are a lot of ghost towns in Oregon, but one of the most interesting ghost towns in this state is one that there is no trace of today. Actually, the whole thing fell into the ocean, house by house, street by street, and here's the kicker. The town paid an average of $450 per person for the privilege of falling into the ocean. Well, of course, they didn't know at the time that they were paying for their destruction, but that's what they were doing. And I'll tell you the story in just a second, but first I'm going to introduce myself. My name's Finn J.D. John. I write a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. It runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now. I've been writing this column since late 2008, so right now there's about 175 archive stories in the kitty. Right now you're listening to an archive story that was first published on February 25th, 2009. I'm going to read it to you now. If you'd like some more information about this podcast or about Offbeat Oregon History, stay tuned. Between Tillamook Bay and the sea, there's a narrow, sandy peninsula where, 100 years ago, a town stood. Not just any town, one of the biggest ones on the Oregon coast, with a municipal swimming hall full of warm salt water and a surf generator. The reason it's gone today? Because residents paid to build a jetty to make their steamship journey smoother. The jetty changed the ocean currents, and the ocean washed the town away. The residents had paid for their own destruction. The town was called Bay Ocean. Bay Ocean got its start in 1906 when a real estate developer named T.B. Potter got hold of it, or rather got hold of the peninsula, and planted the town. Mr. Potter thought big. Over the next few years, he sold off 1,600 lots and built a large hotel, a dance hall, and that swimming hall, a mammoth structure right by the beach, so that residents could choose between cold surf and warm artificial surf. Potter thought big, and Potter dreamed big, but his actual execution was a little bit more along the lines of a mid-size. He promptly installed a telephone network in Bay Ocean, which worked great for local calls across town, but wasn't linked to the outside world. Getting fresh water was a hassle, too. Potter built a pipeline, but didn't put a booster pump in it, so the water pressure was actually so low that sometimes the water would not reach some of the lots. He also installed streets made of concrete rather than dirt or sand, which was really nice, but it didn't matter much because no road was built to the mainland until the 1920s, so most residents didn't bother with cars. Most folks arrived on Potter's steamship, which was called the SS Bay Ocean, and that made a 3-day journey from the town to Portland and a 3-day trip back once a week. The steamer trip could be a terrifying ordeal. You may be familiar with the ocean conditions in that particular corner of Oregon. They're not always friendly. Of course, the steamer would have to cross the Columbia River Bar up in Astoria, and the bar's dangers are still legendary, and it would have to thread the needle in the unprotected mouth of Tillamook Bay. This last could be more scary than the bar crossing, which at least could be kept reasonably smooth by choosing when to cross. Residents started clamoring for a protective jetty. The Army Corps of Engineers studied the place and told them they needed two jetties, one on each side of the mouth of the bay, and it would cost $2.2 million, half of which would have to come from local residents. Well, the residents couldn't afford to do that, so they proposed a single jetty. A little over $800,000 later, it was done, and Bay Ocean's soon-to-be ex-homeowners paid half. Each household ponied up roughly $450, which in 1917 was enough to buy 1 1/2 brand new Ford Model Ts. And for a while, things were great. The steamship ride was much more pleasant without coming across the open ocean. But then something odd started happening. Bay Ocean's broad sandy beach started getting a little less broad. Then it started getting a lot less broad. Finally, in 1932, waves from a massive storm crossed the beach and destroyed the massive seaside swimming hall. From there, things got worse and worse. The hotel started falling, room by room, into the sea. Each winter, the sea got further in. By 1938, 59 homes were gone. Finally, in the early 1950s, the sea breached the spit and rushed into Tillamook Bay, turning Bay Ocean into an island. Instantly, a multi-million-dollar oyster fishery was ruined. 1,000 acres of oyster beds buried under sand. Salinity in the bay surged. The estuary's fisheries started to collapse. The government sprang into action, building a riprap seawall across the gap to keep the sea out. Sometime after that, in the early 1970s, the second jetty was added. This solved the problem with the currents, and the sand started building itself back up on the spit. But it was too late for Bay Ocean. By then, the entire town was gone. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little more information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. We've got all of those things. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since late 2008. So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every weekday morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds. One in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one in audio only for your podcatcher or for iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on iPad, tablet, netbook, computer, whatever you got. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.